Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us the word. Lord, there are right now, even in the 21st century, brothers and sisters around the world who have very little or no Bible. That's a tragedy, Lord, and we pray that you would release our generous hearts to give more to ministries like Wycliffe and Open Door and Gideon so that nobody can be without your word. Lord, in those countries where the word of God is illegal, Lord, we're praying that you'd move upon the hearts of those governments to give freedom. And Lord, where the ministries like Open Doors or Brother Andrew that are smuggling Bibles into illegal places, Lord, protect those carriers. And Lord, we want to repent of our own neglect of your word if we are doing so in any way. And we have many, many Bibles sitting on our shelves and not in our hearts. So Lord, we pray that today you would do that work, that the ancient words would come and change us and heal us, that we would be silent before you and encounter Jesus Christ in the Word, and that you'd create in us a insatiable hunger in our heart, that the thing that first comes to our desires when our eyes open in bed, I can't wait to go to be in the Word. Lord, create that kind of hunger. Your word is life to us. Your word is everything to us. So remove any kind of doubt in your word. Remove any kind of fear. Remove any kind of busyness. Remove any barrier that keeps us from being just wildly, uncontrollably in love with your word, because it is an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless the word proclaimed and the word enacted through the sacrament this day. Let it be for us, again, an encounter with the triune God in Christ. I encourage you to take a minute in silent prayer and just welcome the Holy Spirit into any area where you need an increase of love and faith in God's word. Are the clips going to work for us today?
Maybe.
There's some confidence. So what fills our mind at any given time charts the course of our day and so of our life. So it's very important what we fill our mind with. So let's do a little test of what kind of general knowledge is filling up your mind. Who sadly, tragically won the last Super Bowl? Yeah. All right. What's the capital of Illinois? Easy one. Who's the richest person in the world? Bill Gates. He's back on top, that dog. But at least he's very generous, gives away billions. All right. What are the names of the five Great Lakes? Erie, right? Good. And what is your Social Security number? Try it. All right, how many U.S. flags are on the moon? Six. They planted one every trip. Isn't that cool? All right, last one. What date was John F. Kennedy assassinated? Wow, that's impressive. Good. All right, now the really, really important question. How many Bible passages can you quote or paraphrase? Ooh, our meddling, right? I bet you there's a lot more than you think. I'm not good at memorizing addresses because it's numbers, and I panic when I see numbers. But there's a lot of the Word of God in me, I just say, I do the Hebrews thing. Somewhere, somebody, God has said. So I figure if the Bible can do it, I can do it, right? So today's message is the last one in terms of topic in the Simplify series. Next week, I'm going to do a workshop. There's going to have some handouts, and it's going to have action sheets and some blanks you can fill in. And we're going to go through each of the six areas that we covered, your finances and your calendar. And you're going to come up with one or two action steps to actually start living into this stuff. And so next week's a workshop. Then we have a missionary and a guest preacher. And then we'll start a new series, and maybe the Lord will tell me what he wants me to preach on by then. I think it's going to be faith. That was it. So, this is about the Word of God. Main Bible passage, Psalm 119. So you want to turn your Bible there. And I've been told I need to slow down in my Bible reading. So I will try. I am from Philadelphia, you know. We know. So Psalm 119, if you're not familiar with it, man, you want to be, because it is a 176-verse long psalm. Try memorizing that one. 176 verse long, and it's just an ode to the Word of God. So you're familiar with a lot of the excerpts in here. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's your word that gives them light entrance. So a lot of the familiar passages. This particular excerpt from in verses 9 through 16 is one of the passages that reveal how it is you can live a godly, fruitful, joy-filled life. Anybody want that? So Psalm 119, 9 through 16 says, how can a young man, but it's a generic word there, how can a young person, or it doesn't matter how old you are, how can a person stay on the path of purity? By guarding it according to your word. And wouldn't it be nice if you could always, this you could write these words as if it was completely true of you. That's what you want. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget. How true is that for you? We never have to wonder. This is the glory of being people who have access to God's Word. We never have to wonder. We never have to be confused. We never have to try to guess what is the right decision in every major life decision, because God has given us the inspired, the infallible, the authoritative, backed by all God's power, Word. It's there. And God's word, it tells us very clearly, on whatever it wants to be clear about, on all the decisions that matter most. It tells us what's true and what's false and what's right and what's wrong and what's God pleasing and God rejecting and what is life or death giving. And so, ergo, the more of God's word, as our passage said, you have hidden in your heart, the more your life will be marked by engaging in work that is matters for all eternity, having personal peace and joy, and having healthy, satisfying relationships. Anybody want to sign up for those three things? Store the Word of God in your heart. And so contrarily, if your life right now in any area is marked more by fear than faith, more by financial struggle than contentment. Remember, we talked about all these categories. More by futility than fruitfulness. More by relational tension than harmony. Don't blame God. Don't blame others. Don't blame life. Rather, examine how much of God's word, as our passage declares, you have stored up in your heart. How much does God, you allowed the Holy Spirit to create in you a heart that delights in God's statutes. Heibel's comments on these truths with these words. Remember, we're using his material for some of the framework. Most of it's original, but this is all Heibel's, this next section. There's a path that leads to financial purity. It involves getting out of debt, living below your means, giving generously of your resources, paying your full tithe to your local church. There's a path that leads to moral purity, which involves being faithful to your spouse, not just sexually, but visually, verbally, and emotionally. Not having sexual relationships outside of marriage. It involves being a person of your word. It involves not exposing yourself to books and movies and songs that aren't life-giving. There's a path that leads to relational purity, which involves like not gossiping and not slandering and keeping short accounts with people and pouring lots of grace towards others, forgiving all others. When something happens, when an offense arises, you deal with it. Godly ways. There's a path that leads to emotional purity, which involves things like working through your anger in appropriate ways and dealing with grief and unforgiveness. There's a path that leads to physical purity, which involves getting on a regular plan of healthy eating and exercise. Right? This morning, I ran out of holes to put my belt on. On the small side. I've been working hard. It's a lot of work at this age to lose weight. There's a path that leads to spiritual purity, which involves carving out a time to be with God every day. It involves taking care of God's world and the crown of God's creation, which is us. It involves listening to God's whispers and then actually obeying them. There's a path that leads to vocational purity, which involves things like being on time for work, having a positive attitude instead of dragging the place down. This would be for your school as well. There's a path that leads to familiar purity, which involves things like prioritizing conversations with your spouse and with your children. And so, every fork of the road, every decision, there's always two paths, like Robert Frost's poem. We want to take the path less taken, which is the path of honoring God by obeying His word. That's the ultimate simplification of your life. Now, the question becomes, how do we saturate our soul with God's word? So here's a little teaching section for you from my own material. To the degree possible, you want six different ways of engaging the word all going on at the same time. Okay, if you're a note taker, make sure I cover six. Number one, reading the whole Bible. Okay, there is nothing more wonderful and important to at some point in your life, at least once, to have read all the way from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, to read the entire scripture, because what it does is it gives you the big picture, God's grand story that He is writing with humanity and the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and this world and the universe and the angelic race, and it's all just this great, wonderful, marvelous story that no author has even come close to, and then you can see how your story connects to that story and how each passage of the Bible and book of the Bible connects to the bigger story. If you read a chapter a day, you cover the scriptures in 3.25 years. So if you read three chapters a day, you cover it in 1 year. I'm kind of on the 3-4 year plan at this point in my life because I've read through it a number of times the other way, so I'm not in a hurry. Have a plan where you're systematically reading through the Bible, number one. Number two, it kind of goes along with this, is listening to Scripture. You got your CDs, you got your phone, you got your 8-tracks, whatever you use. Listen to the Word of God. Three powerful things about listening to the Word. One, it literally soaks you in the Word of God. When I was first saved, it was still back in the cassette tape days, so that shows a little bit of my age, working in the university library in Anchorage, had my Walkman. Man, I'm like really old. And I just listened to the entire Bible, just putting books on the shelves, and it literally washed all the impurity out of my life. Listen to the Word of God, saturate your mind with the Word of God, and you cover huge portions of Scripture faster than reading. Right? So you take a couple hour drive, you listen to like the entire book of Isaiah easily. Cover a huge portion. Thirdly, it could just redeems boring or unproductive times, like you're cleaning the house or whatever. Listen. Third way is your in-depth Bible study, right? So, precepts and nice sermons and do on your own. You ought to have a plan. You ought to have a little bookshelf where you have a concordance and a good Bible dictionary and a good word study book. Dig in. Fourth, is it my own number four yet? Praying the Scriptures. Talked about this many times in different teachings. Two ways to praise the Scriptures. One, you actually pray the Scripture. Otherwise, like the Jules Miller thing, you read it and let the Word of God inspire praying on that topic. Okay? Five and six go together, and they are the most important of the six. Devotional reading. Okay, this is reading the Bible as a love letter from God. It's opening up the Bible and saying, "Oh, Lord, I just want to know how much you love me. Let me hear your voice. Let me feel your presence." Okay? Now, here is my personal bias. At any given time in life, you have to choose how to engage the Scripture, because you can't get all six going. Choose devotional reading. It is the most important way to engage the Scripture, and the most powerful way to engage devotional reading is the sixth way, which is meditating on Scripture. So meditating on Scripture, you understand what that is? It's taking a small portion of Scripture. It's the passage we just read. I've stored up your word in my heart. I will meditate on your precepts. I will delight in your statutes. So you take a small section. You just memorize it. If you can memorize it, that's best. If you can maybe turn it into a song, that's the way to memorize. And you just ponder it and listen to, try to encounter the Trinity in it. And here is why meditating and devotional reading is the most important of all the six. Because it is the most powerful way where the Word of God goes from here to here. You see, knowledge doesn't produce transformation. Imagination that produces transformation. It's when it captures your heart. It's only when that happens, only when the Word of God sinks into our soul. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about studying the Word of God. It talks about meditating on the Word of God. Now, you ought to be able to have all six in your life. You want all six in your life. Obviously, I study the Word of God intensely. But devotional reading is the most transforming. Here's when you experience Hebrews 4. You guys, but some of you have this memorized. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It is pierces to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and before it all the world is laid bare before God. That's the power of devotional and meditative reading. So another way to engage the Word of God is this life verse thing, which would fall in the category of memorization. So Hybels talks about going to the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit to direct you to a verse that will become kind of the overarching metaphor, the rallying cry to guide your and focus your life, either for your whole life or for a season. So it becomes this lighthouse. When you're off track, you can get back to harbor. For me, the way this has worked is God has given me one overarching light verse from early on getting saved, and then he gives me verses that kind of tie into that verse, but they're for a season. And so my overarching light verse is Joshua 1:9, which God says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go." And then my current life verse of last year, and then continuing now, is Isaiah 30:15. "In repentance and in rest you shall be saved. in quietness and in trust shall be your courage. So you notice both have to do with being a man of great courage and great faith. That doesn't come natural to me. Billy Graham's life verse is Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Martin Luther King claimed Amos 5:24, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. So Hybels gives three reasons to have a life verse. It clarifies what matters most, it calls out the best in you, and it brings comfort. Six ways you want in your life to be saturating your life with God's Word. Why? Because what is the Bible? God's Word. I mean, doesn't this just blow you away? We have like quotes from God. It's like, wow. And it's not just the Word of God. It's living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So it's not like reading told you. It's the Word of God. It's alive. When the Holy Spirit is always accompanies the Word, and it goes in and it matters, and it's the supreme authority. We live under the Word. We don't stand on top of the Word and decide what we're going to believe. That's how a lot of people do it. No, we live under the authority of the Word, and it gets to tell us what's right and wrong and true and false. Right? And we either believe it or you live in lies. You either obey it or you live in sin. It's that straightforward. No matter what secular history or science or any field declares to be truth or declares to be moral, if it contradicts the Bible, it is wrong. So whenever you want to know what is true and what is not, what is moral and what is not, see what the Bible has to say about it. Friends, the root problem of every single issue in our country is that our country has abandoned God's Word as the authority of what is right and wrong, true and false. Every issue. So you never need to be ashamed of God's Word. The Word of God always is accompanied by the power of the Spirit of God. You don't need to be ashamed of sharing Scriptures. You don't need to be ashamed of sharing the Gospel, because that's the only way people are going to get saved, if they hear the Word of God. Sing it, shout it, live it, proclaim it. Isaiah 55:11, another familiar passage, thus declares Yahweh, who is now your Father in Christ, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall never return empty. It'll always accomplish that which I purpose. You believe that? It's time. Can we just go 3 hours like Black Pentecostal churches do? What? If we have food and bathrooms, right? 1 Peter 2:2-3. Like newborn infants, crave the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you tasted that the Lord is good. So, you can kind of tell, you can kind of measure what you really believe this book is and does by how passionate you are to be in it. Right? I mean, if you really, really believe that when you go to the Word of God, you are actually reading the very words of God that have the power to save and to heal and to free and to comfort. And most of all, when you go to the written Word, you encounter the very living Word, Jesus Christ. How could you not be like a baby that's crying out for his mother's milk? How can you not be like a parched and weary soul in the desert just searching for that one drop of water? When you really, really believe that if daily being the Word of God daily is not just optional, it's a matter of life or death, it's a matter of sin or purity, you will wake up in the morning and you will rush as fast as you can to the Word of God. Many find it hard to have a regular time in the Word of God, and it confuses me. And I think it has to do with just not understanding what it is and what can happen. I mean, if you go, if the Bible is just history, if the Bible is just theology, if it's just some kind of rule book or some kind of instructional manual, if it's just kind of how to make life work, or even worse, it's just the voice of the God condemning you and telling you how bad you are, who's going to go to that book? But if you realize that the Bible is God's love story, it is His love letter. If you're in love with someone, if you're passionately in love with someone, man, what do? You can't wait to be around that person. If you lost that with your wife, let me just throw this in: God can resurrect that. If when you're in love, or maybe it's your dog, I don't know. When you're in love with something, you can't wait to be around that thing, that person. And that's how it is with the Lord. Well, if you know it, when you go to the Word of God, you're going to encounter Jesus Christ. Right? He's going to hug you. He's going to tell you how much He loves you. He's going to bring healing to you. That's what you can experience every time you go to the written Word. Because in the written Word is Jesus Christ, the living Word. So when you go to the Scripture, and you can tell you've gone to the Word of God in the way God wants us to go to the Word of God, because you get up from that time, or you leave that sermon, or you leave that precepts Bible study, whatever it is you're doing, or the time of meditation, and you're more in love with God. That's the measurement. You walk away, I know some great truth. Who cares? You walk away, and you're, man, I can't believe how amazing Jesus is. Right? And I love you. Yeah. Even you. You know, you've been encountered the Word. An increase of love of God, increase of compassion for others, increase of brokenness over what breaks God's heart is the measurement of whether you're engaging the Word of God in the way that God invites us to engage the Word. Let's pray. Well, there has been plenty of seasons in my life, as you know, when I didn't have this passion for the Word. And every time I repent and lean back into you, you stir it back up. And I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have stirred back up in my soul, my weary, dry soul, a passion for your Word again. Oh, your Word again has become my delight. Because every time I go to your Word, I encounter Jesus, I encounter Father, I encounter the sweet, sweet Spirit. Lord, my passion for each person here today, that if they have that, they would celebrate it and delight it and let it be an infectious contagion as they share it. And if they don't have it, you would stir that kind of passion in them. Make us all, Lord Jesus Christ, people who would have it. Your Word.